Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week was born in the Philippines and grew up in Norway, Connecticut, San Antonio, and Miami. She earned a BS in marketing from Trinity University and an MBA from Texas A&M, the Aggies. For 5 years, she worked in the wealth management industry and then the corporate restructuring arena. In 2010, she founded Young Catholic Professionals, whose mission is to inspire young professionals to, quote-unquote, work in witness for Christ. Her name, Jennifer Ball. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything is Possible. And we're talking to Jennifer Ball, who in 2010 founded Young Catholic Professionals. Jennifer, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Jack, thank you for having me. Great to be here.
Can we start by you leading us in a little opening prayer, please?
I'd love that. Well, our Blessed Mother is always with us, and so I would love to call upon her to be with us today. So in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To thee do we come, before thee we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer us. Amen. Sweet Mother, we pray for a blessed show today, and we thank you for all your graces. Amen.
Thank you. That was the Memorare. Very nice. Can you start by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad, please?
Yes, I was blessed with a very adventurous, unusual childhood. So I was born in the Philippines, as you mentioned earlier. I'm an island girl at heart. And my brother was born in Hong Kong in the Year of the Dragon. We then moved to Norway and then finally came to the United States when I was in kindergarten. So really, it was a wonderful adventure. My parents loved travel. They met in Manhattan. And my mom came back to her faith when my brother and I were in our teens. She was raised Catholic, but I think drifted a little bit, as many people did during that time in the 70s. And she came back full force. And while the Catholic faith was introduced in our home, during this time when she was really coming alive, it was introduced much more. She is a very holy, devout woman, and so I really think that a lot of where I am today is because of what she taught me. But yeah, so basically my brother and I were introduced to the Catholic faith much more in high school, and it wasn't until the college years after my MBA program, where I had some time off in between grad school and a consulting job, that I really had the chance to embrace my faith as my own. So it was definitely in development, but I thank God for it because it's certainly the greatest gift in my life.
Speaking of development, you're an Aggie. And the pride, the phenomenal pride that you Aggies have is unbelievable. Why so?
You know, I think there's something so special about community. And I think the Aggies really foster that sense of community. There's this beautiful tradition there that's at the school. I mean, literally when I was there, I was shocked. Men would run to open the door for me, and they do that for all of the ladies. So there's a sense of chivalry that comes from this rich tradition. You know, and so I think there's something really to be proud of in that. And it's a interesting town, College Station, nothing too special. But there's something certainly special about the spirit of the school. And I think it speaks to the real importance of community in our lives.
From 2006 to 2008, you were a financial planner with Merrill Lynch. Tell us about those years.
Wow. You know, I think a lot of what I learned at Merrill Lynch in terms of, you know, really focusing on the presentation, the attention to detail, client management, all of that has helped me so much in ministry now. But it was really interesting. I studied for the Series 7 and 66 and passed, so I was fully licensed to be a financial advisor. And it was great to see, you know, how much the financial advisors really cared for their clients, and I think it was really good training. I mean, it was certainly an intense environment, and I think, of course, I carry all those things with me now into what I do for a living, but a lot of attention to detail, to professionalism, to presenting a certain standard of excellence, and I think it's important for us as Catholics to bring that into how we evangelize and witness.
You lived in Norway, Connecticut, San Antonio, Miami, College Station. How was it you ever got to Dallas, Texas?
Well, you know, God has an amazing plan. It's really been a whirlwind, a great adventure, and I do think my travels have given me a greater appreciation for people. But basically, at the MBA, I was recruited by a consulting firm in Dallas, Texas, and so that's what brought me to Dallas. I would have never imagined I'd be there. I mean, I had no family there or anything, but it was during 2008, 2009 where, you remember, the economy was, you know, not doing too hot. And so the fact that I got a really great job offer from a consulting firm there, it was an offer I couldn't refuse. So I said, let's go visit Dallas, Texas. And who knew that that would be the place where I would really find my faith and really have the time and space to start the ministry. But I couldn't imagine living anywhere other than Texas now. I'm married a Texan, so I think I'll be there for a while.
Was there a specific moment that you really found your faith?
Yes. Yeah, definitely a specific moment. I would say a specific moment and a series of moments. But I think what was unique about this time period was it was the first time in my life I had time for silence. I had always been such a high achiever, a go-getter, and so I always had an exam or something with work. And how it worked out with the timing of the MBA and the timing of my new job is that I had 8 months off for the first time in my life. So it was really, it started out with kind of like a almost like a quarter-life crisis where I was trying to figure out who I was, the meaning of life and all of that. But it led to me asking God to teach me how to pray, to help me to get to know him. And after a series of a couple of months of really imploring him to help me, I really do remember a particular day where I felt this outpouring of God's love and mercy and the sense that he had been with me all along, even if I hadn't really quite recognized it myself. So it was at that moment that I said, I want to be an authentic Catholic. I want to know everything there is to know about the faith, and this is going to be the purpose of my life. And it really, it's been blessed and amazing ever since that day.
We're talking to Jennifer Ball. When we come back, we're going to ask her about the organization she founded in 2010. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything is Possible. I'm Jack Rasul, and we're with Jennifer Baugh. Jennifer, it's 2010, and you form an organization called Young Catholic Professionals. Please.
Well, basically, I had just fallen in love with my faith, as I mentioned. I mean, it was like this treasure chest opened, and I thought, oh my gosh, the Catholic faith is the best thing out there. Why is nobody talking about it? Like, it's as incredible as it is. So there was that, and there was also the fact that I wanted to keep this newfound faith starting this very secular consulting job. So I looked for young adult ministries, looking for other Catholics to help me stay accountable in my faith. And while many of the ministries seemed well-meaning, the people seemed well-meaning, I thought there could be something more. There could be a ministry that is reaching young people where they are, which is, you know, working. A ton of us spend a tremendous amount of our day working, yet there was sort of a gap between what we're learning about our faith and how we live it in daily life. And so there are so many young professional organizations, secular ones, and I said, why couldn't there be one for Catholics? So hence the name, Young Catholic Professionals. So I still had some time off before starting the job and took that time to put together a focus group, put together a business plan with financial projections, and put together a team to host the very first event. And we hosted our first event and had over 100 people in attendance. And this was about the same time as I was to start the new job. And long story short, 8 months into the new job, all I can think about is this ministry, Young Catholic Professionals, that is really seeming to have some sort of a striking a chord with these young people. So I decided to quit my job 8 months in without anything lined up to pursue God's call to build this ministry. And basically the first 3 years of our life was just spent testing the model, building our programs, and essentially creating a model that could be scaled across the country.
And here, 8 years later, you've got 16 chapters, 10 states, members in 40 cities. What's the mission of YCP?
So Young Catholic Professionals is designed to help young Catholics in their 20s and 30s work in witness for Christ. That's our slogan. And we have a threefold purpose. Number one is to promote Catholic identity so that young people know their faith and have the confidence to witness to it in daily life. Number two is to foster a sense of community so we support each other for the journey, not only peer-to-peer, but also mentors who are there to guide us. And then finally, to inspire a call to action so that we live our faith in daily life and change the culture through our witness. We have a whole host of programs and events that help us do just that. And it's amazing. We're inspiring Catholics to kind of come in where they're comfortable. We're then challenging them to grow deeper. And then finally, encouraging them and inspiring them to embrace a call to action and really be those ambassadors for Christ in daily life.
The name of this show is Anything Is Possible. But when you started, you had a lot of people telling you, impossible. You're not going to get young people who are overwhelmed with their careers, et cetera, et cetera. They don't care about faith. Why has it been successful?
You know, I think, as we were mentioning earlier, community is so important. But the difference with the Young Catholic Professionals community is it's a community that challenges us to a higher standard. And I think that even though many might not think that this is the case, I think young people are actually looking to be challenged, to be encouraged and inspired to something more. The world is embracing mediocrity, but I think as Catholics, we know to whom much is given, much is expected. And so there is a challenge element that we incorporate into our ministry. That's why we talk about the virtues on a regular basis. But I think the reason that it's striking a chord is because we present the ministry in a way that's very attractive. So we have great marketing. We use our business skill set to be creative and reach these young people. We have free wine and appetizers at our events. That always helps. But we don't sacrifice the substance of the message. So young people will hear catechesis from priests. They'll hear a challenge from our speakers. There's confession available at events. We talk about the Blessed Mother. We talk about the saints. So we really, I think, do a unique job of making it very welcoming, having top-notch Catholic executives speak to us. It's attractive programming with great substance.
All right. Let's talk about some objections, no doubt you've heard, from young professionals. Jennifer, I admire you, I respect you, but prayer is so passive.
Well, it's so interesting to, you know, hear that, because it depends on who you're speaking with. I mean, if you're speaking with your best friend, would you say that it's a passive experience? No, it's because you're speaking with somebody that you love. And I think that's how we have to look at prayer, is a conversation with a person that we love, somebody who loves us. And really, we get what we put in. I think so many of us today are expecting, you know, lights and entertainment and emotionality. But it's not about that. It's about love and commitment. I think the other thing that's fascinating is that I've learned that prayer, as St. Paul says, we're supposed to pray without ceasing. So we can pray by the actions of our lives. We can pray when we're at work by offering a project or a meeting to God. Prayer doesn't have to be this sort of almost in a sense, serious or remote experience. It can be a joyful encounter with someone. That can be a form of prayer if we orient our lives towards God. So to me, prayer is the least passive thing out there. It might be us that's passive. And so I think we have to kind of look inside.
All right, next question. I pray, but I just pray nature is God. So I see a beautiful tree, that's praying. I don't believe in church or organized religion.
Well, the church believes in you. You know, I think we need organization. The church, at the end of the day, is a family, and it's grounded and founded by Christ. And we all have the succession of the apostles and the saints who laid their life down. I just got back from Rome and learned about all of the martyrs who defended the faith so that we can practice our faith today. And in any family setting, there have to be sort of ground rules. But at the end of the day, they're not rules to restrict us. They are teachings that are designed for us to have success in life and get to heaven. The teachings are there for our good. And so I think for those people who say, oh, I don't need the church or anything organized, I think the answer is we really do, because they have been designed over the centuries based on the teachings of Christ and then followed through by the saints and the apostles, and they're designed for our good. So the church is a gift to us. It's a gift to us from Christ. And I think when we see it as sort of just an institution and not something that's divine, I think we're missing out on the real blessing that's meant for us. Through the sacraments, we can be renewed. And it's a real chance for us to grow closer together as a family.
I agree that through the centuries, the church has been fabulous and done phenomenal work. But today, the people that go to church and preach about God, they're sinners, they're hypocrites, they're phonies.
It's true, we are sinners. You know, if we were all perfect, we'd be in heaven. So that's, again, why we need the church, because we are imperfect, but we are striving for perfection. And that's why we need help. We need help along the way to get there, to get to that place of holiness and sanctity. In terms of the hypocrites one, you know, we shouldn't be hypocrites. We shouldn't be people who say something and act another way or vice versa. And I think that that is the great challenge in our church today, is that we who are faithful have to be honest and honorable and try to live lives that are that we would want others to emulate. You know, we are in a sense in imitation of Christ. And so when we're hypocrites, we make it harder to be authentic witnesses to the faith. You know, so I, you know, Pope Paul V, I think it was, said that modern man today listens more to witnesses than to teachers. And if we are going to authentically witness to the faith, we have to be honorable and we have to be people whose lives are noble. And when we're hypocrites, I think that we do a disservice to those we're trying to evangelize. So yes, we are sinners. We are striving for heaven. And thanks be to God for his mercy and forgiveness. But in terms of the hypocrites, I think we should pray to be people who are Catholic in all moments, not just in, you know, after work or on the weekend or on Sunday. We should strive to be who we are always.
The greatest sermon ever given had no words. We're talking to Jennifer Ball, and I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula, with Jennifer Baugh. If you want to learn more, www.youngcatholicprofessionals.org. Okay, another objection. Jennifer, I'm very smart, I work very hard, and I'm doing very good. I don't need God right now. When and if I need him, I'll reach out to God, and he'll be there for me.
A couple things. I think that might be a little bit of a selfish way of looking at it. You don't need God, but he might need you. I mean, we're not here just for ourselves. We're here for others. And we can offer the sacrifices of our life. We can offer things for others, for the conversion of souls. So, you know, I think that's such a selfish way to look at it. Secondly, I think we realize in life that we have to invest for the future. We have to save. We can't just spend all of our money, you know, paycheck to paycheck. We have to save for a rainy day. If we just basically live our lives and say, I'll need God or I'll go to God whenever I need him, there's a chance that we won't know how to pray. There's a chance that we won't recognize God when he's speaking to us so that we can help, you know, encounter the problems of our life through prayer. So I think we have to practice praying for those moments where it's really challenging so that we have strength to pull from. We can't just live our lives assuming that, you know, by living day to day that, you know, everything will be just fine. God will be there. Of course, he'll always be there for us in our moments of need, but we might be missing out on an opportunity to endure the hardships with more strength and grace because we've built up a strong foundation. So I think to all those people who are living in the here and now for themselves, I would say, first of all, think about others. Maybe God needs you for your family or for your coworkers. And secondly, practice praying so that you are ready to embrace the challenges of tomorrow.
Fiddler on the Roof, fabulous musical. Tevye sings, If I Were a Rich Man. And as part of that song, he talks about that if he had time to pray. And a couple segments ago, you said, Jack, it started with a time of silence. Jennifer, I got no time for silence. You know, I'm a mom of four. I work, or I'm a husband. We got four kids. My wife stays home. You know, I'm trying to bring home the bacon. I just don't have any time for silence or prayer.
It's tough. I mean, we live in a world today where we're constantly bombarded with noise, with distractions from social media, from technology. But I think if we really step back and prioritize our life, we see that there are so many opportunities for prayer, maybe more than we ever realized. You know, I actually pray the rosary every day, and I have an accountability partner in my husband and also in my brother. And so I know that one of the two of them is going to call me and ask to pray the rosary with me, my brother who's in a different state, or my husband in person. And I know that I'll have someone there to pray with me. So I think, you know, for those people who question whether or not they have time, first of all, try to have accountability partners in your life so that you ensure that you're not in this alone and that you have people around you encouraging you. Secondly, try to see prayer in a different context. As we were talking about earlier, we can pray by offering different moments in our lives. We can pray by offering a project to God or a meeting. We can pray on the way to a meeting. Dear God, be with me as I seek to do your glory through this meeting that I'm about to have today. Thank you, God, for allowing me to have that great meeting or see that project in a different light. Dear Blessed Mother, be with me as I'm about to encounter this difficult client. There's different ways that we can be constantly in conversation with God throughout the day. And then lastly, I think we just have to make time for silence, even in the midst of our hectic and crazy schedules. We have to, because otherwise we're just operating reactively. And we know in business and life, in order to really be strategic, we have to step back in order to see things from a more holistic perspective. It's smart for business. It's also smart in our prayer life. In order for us to see life and see ourselves as we really are, we have to step back. So it really depends on what our goals are in life. Do you want to get to heaven? Or do you want to, you know, just constantly be up to date with the latest of social media or email exchange? If we want to get to heaven, I think we have to prioritize our lives differently.
In October of 87, there was a terrific stock market crash. Jennifer, I don't think you were born in October of 87, so we can figure out the age. You have an old soul. You talk like you're a beautiful lady, but you talk like you're 65 years old. How did you get that?
Well, thanks, Jack. I mean, you know, I think it was from the travel. I think experiencing those different countries and meeting all those different people really helped me see broader horizons, you know, learn to love people and learn to love to learn. I love to learn. So I think that's a huge part of it is by being an observer of life and by asking a lot of questions. I think it's helped me open myself and broaden my horizon. But really, I feel just so gifted with this beautiful Catholic faith. You know, it's just such a treasure, and it's something I'm so grateful for. The thing is as Catholics, we have the opportunity to learn something new about our faith every single day. It's just such a great adventure, and I think when you see life that way, it really becomes so much more fun, so much more exciting, and I'm just really grateful to be on this path.
If you want to learn more, www.youngcatholicprofessionalswithans.org. Speaking of loving to learn, this ministry has helped thousands of young people. What have these past 8 years taught you, Jennifer Ball?
So many things. The power of prayer. It's taught me about the power of prayer. I mean, I can't really imagine where we'd be without prayer. I mean, we rely on our patron saint, St. Joseph the Worker, constantly for his intercession, his help. We rely on the prayers of and the intercession of the saints and the prayers of our community. My mom has always had the Carmelites praying for us along the way. So I really think the power of prayer is so huge. The one thing I would say has been really significant in my life is perseverance. There's a lot of challenges that come with starting something new, with building an organization that relies on a lot of people. People have a lot of input and insights, and you know, there's constantly people wanting to share their ideas and quote unquote two cents. So I think it can be easy to be distracted and maybe even discouraged by some of the challenges. But I've seen in this last 8 years that by simply persevering and enduring and staying true to what you believe in, it's amazing how God will see you through, really. And then I would say the last thing is just how important it is to ask people for help. I know that, you know, YCP wouldn't be where it is today without all of the many mentors and people who have helped along the way. And I think sometimes I've noticed this with my generation is that we're hesitant to ask people for help. It's amazing. But it's so amazing because other people get graces when they help you. When you ask for help from someone, you're actually giving them the opportunity to receive graces. So I've definitely seen how necessary it is that we rely on each other for the journey, and that we really can't do this alone.
If there's a parent tonight with a young professional or a young professional listening, and traditional dating today is a lost art, what do you say to young people about dating?
It's fascinating.
How do they find their Zachary?
You know, it's a tough dating world out there. I think, first of all, young people today are scared to commit, and they see that marriages oftentimes aren't working like they used to. So there's a lot of fear there. But I think if they trust God and pray, you know, with sincerity of heart, He will guide them, and he will help them find their life path. But I think we have to be open. We have to put ourselves out there and really look for a spouse. I think a lot of young people in this day and age are kind of fearful to try to put themselves out there. So I would say to anybody listening, it's just important to be surrounded by good Catholics. And I think that's the best way to increase your chances. But, you know, we were even speaking last night about the marriage statistics in our country. Marriages are declining. The amount of unmarried people in our country is rapidly increasing. So I think it's important for those people who are married to really be a witness to those who are seeking and wondering, is it possible to have a good marriage in this day and age? And the answer is yes. If you center your marriage in Christ, it's the best thing out there. I highly recommend it.
We're talking to Jennifer Ball, and I highly recommend her. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Jennifer Ball, who founded Young Catholic Professionals 2010, and its mission is to inspire young professionals to, quote-unquote, work in witness for Christ. Jennifer, let's talk about the silent elephant in the room, the unspoken epidemic, pornography.
It's so challenging because I think so many people today have fallen into the horrible trap of pornography, and it really, I think, can upset so much in their lives. It leads to, I think, an angry posture, an angry position towards life, and it really can destroy a relationship with God and a relationship with others. We know it destroys marriages, it destroys relationships, it destroys also dedication to work, to commitment, to friendships. So I think what we have to do is we have to speak about it and provide avenues and opportunities for people to get help, because I think we can assume that the majority of the population out there is probably struggling. We live in a world today where we're bombarded with images, whether we like it or not. And so to preserve innocence in this day and age is something that we have to do with a lot of vigilance and a lot of dedication. And I think for anyone out there who has fallen into the trap, I think, first of all, they need to know that it is possible to find healing. God's mercy is abundant and everlasting. But also, the threat is real. And I think we also have to have compassion on the people around us. They're bearing heavy crosses, in terms of maybe really suffering and feeling like they don't know the way out. But, we have to address this because it is, like you said, it's an epidemic in our society today.
You're going to have your second annual National Member Conference in Cleveland, September 7th through 9th. Tell us about it, and how do we learn more?
I'm thrilled. I'm so excited about it. The theme is Mary. So it's on her birthday weekend, September 7th through 9th. As you said, her birthday is on September 8th, and we're going to throw her a birthday party like she's never had before. But really, we came up with this theme because so many young people, while they want to grow in their devotion to Mary, really don't know where to start. So we're going to talk about the rosary. We're going to talk about different devotions to Mary. We're going to talk about a few apparitions, some Marian prayers. And the whole conference is going to be based on a book called Mary, Help in Hard Times. And it's really going to be an amazing combination of, I think, teaching, of almost a retreat. It'll feel a little bit like a pilgrimage, but it'll also be a lot of fun, a chance to meet young Catholics from across the nation. We're anticipating 500 young people in attendance. So it's going to be a great deal and just a fun getaway weekend in Cleveland. So I really encourage people to look into it. You can go to ycpconference.org to get more info.
We all know about Mary and her son Jesus, but there was a third entity, Saint Joseph, the worker. And you have a close relationship with him as well. Tell us about Saint Joseph.
Saint Joseph, thank you God for Saint Joseph. You know, he is the patron of the Universal Church, the patron of families, and he is also the patron of workers. And he's such an amazing guide for us. He was faithful to God no matter what God called him to. So I think he is really an example of fortitude and courage. And I think he's also an example of true leadership, because someone who's a leader is willing to take on great responsibility no matter the cost. And he did that for Jesus and Mary. He followed God's will for his life with great endurance and perseverance. So I think those of us who aspire to be leaders should really look to Saint Joseph. He's a model of humility. He's a model of great trust in God's will. And I think he's a shining example of true leadership.
I agree with you. He was fabulous. And he could do that in his day. But Jennifer, today, in this secular world, this doggy-dog business world that I work in, I can't live my holiness, and I sure as heck can't work in witness for Christ.
I would say you can, Jack. I mean, anything is possible with God. Your show is called Anything Is Possible, and with God, that is true. But without God, nothing is possible. It is tough. It's not easy. But Blessed Solanus Casey said, don't pray for an easy life. Pray to be stronger people. And I think that's what we need to pray for. We're not called to be like everybody else. We stand apart. And so we are called to a higher standard. To whom much is given, much is expected. We have to put in the time. We have to put in the effort. But the results will be unbelievable for the kingdom. So I think the question is, can we do it? The answer is yes. Will we do it? Do we have the willpower? That's the real question. And the answer is we don't have to do it alone. When we are surrounded by those in faith to encourage us, we really can continue the journey.
Do you ever do bad stuff, Jennifer?
All the time.
You're very young, and you truly trust God. You get up every morning saying, use me, okay? Surprise me. I can't do that.
I would say I think you can. You know, it's not easy to do. That's the thing. It's not easy. So, but it's worth it. So what are we willing to do for the things in life that are worth it? I think the other thing, you know, when you look at St. John Paul II, always had a glimmer in his eye and a smile. He saw this life as a great opportunity and a great joy and a blessing. And I think we have to look at life as an adventure. There's so much that's possible for us, but we limit ourselves. We limit our horizons. But there's so much available to us through this richness of our Catholic faith, through the opportunities that God gives us, through the skills he gives us. He gives us so much to work with, and we really just use almost a tenth of what's available to us. So I think we just have to look at every day as an opportunity. We have to be open to the Holy Spirit and just see what he can do. It's really that easy. But I think if we approach each day with a smile, with a little bit of an adventurous, even a mischievous spirit, God can do so many wonderful things.
As our time winds down, would you lead us in a closing prayer, please?
I would love to, Jack. So every day as a team at Young Catholic Professionals, we pray this prayer. It's called the Radiating Christ Prayer. And Mother Teresa prayed this every morning with her sisters. Dear Jesus, help us to spread your fragrance everywhere we go. Flood our souls with your spirit and life. Penetrate and possess our whole being so utterly that all our life may only be a radiance of yours. Shine through us and be so in us that every soul we come in contact with may feel your presence in our souls. Let them look up and see no longer us, but only Jesus. Stay with us, and then we shall begin to shine as you shine. So to shine is to be a light to others. The light, O Jesus, will be all from you. None of it will be ours. It will be you shining on others through us. Let us thus praise you in the way you love best, by shining on those around us. Let us preach you without preaching, not by words, but by our example. By the catching force of the sympathetic influence of what we do, the evident fullness of the love our hearts bear to you. Amen.
Jennifer Ball, fantastic. The fragrance of your life is unbelievable. Keep up the great work.
Thank you so much, Jack.
Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. It's Ball.
Believe in yourself.